Our lives are not our own. We are bound to others, past and present, and by each crime and every kindness, we birth our future. David Mitchell, Cloud Atlas. Hey guys, it is your Dungeon Master Eric. Before we get into this week's episode, I just wanted to throw a little disclaimer out here at the top. At one point during the episode, we get some rules kind of confused, saying that when somebody is incapacitated, it's an auto crit when you try to hit them. That is not what the rules are. It's paralyzed or unconscious. And this mistake comes up frequently throughout this episode, as you will hear very shortly. So I just wanted everybody to know that's a mess up of the rules. Those of you that were going to correct us, we know. Thank you for being concerned. But yeah, we hope you enjoy this week's episode and just kind of overlook our big screw up. Thanks. Hello and welcome to Eberron Renewed, a D&D 5th edition actual play podcast set in the Eberron campaign setting. I am your Dungeon Master, Eric.
I'm Philip.
Randy.
Dom Jeff.
And welcome to another episode of Eberron Renewed. So gentlemen, what happened the last time?
We're in the arms of the angels. Someone had to do it.
Keep going.
Someone had to do it.
Okay. Now, that just makes me think of Sad Dogs. Okay. So we all agreed to try interplanar travel to get back to Graham more quickly. Mm-hmm. And we just happened to end up in a place where Farland wasn't welcome anymore.
It's gone so much like all of our decisions.
Yeah,
it
I know.
It can't be just simple. We're going to go from point A to point B.
Never
no
goes
problems.
Smooth.
Nope.
Never like, goes. Not only.
Because that'd make great radio.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, not only did Farland not. Or do we end up in a place Farland's not welcome? But we ended up in a place that I guess these people see something in Beric that none of us know about, including Beric,
yes.
That they think he's just the incarnation of evil. And now we're before some angelic tribunal. So
Farland's not welcome. Beric's not welcome.
Yep.
He didn't seem he wasn't particularly polite to me.
notably earlier than that, Cursebringer thinks that that Graham's locket, which Jacob has, is essential to defeating the darkness, and maybe the only thing that can defeat the darkness. But being Cursebringer, he didn't explain any of that.
And then when you were in the arms of the angels, you tried to talk to Cursebringer.
Oh, right, yes. Also, Beric can no longer summon his sword, but he can cast spells. So all of Beric's hypotheses about how his magic works have gone out the window.
Because Eric decided it all of a sudden to make it where you couldn't summon Cursebringer.
Okay.
That would have been way worse, though, if I tried to miss, because I cast a spell in mid-fall. So I attempted to Misty Step and it just didn't work.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
Okay. Well, you all are in front of the Angelic Council with this older one who seems to be the head of it, addressing Beric and having just stated he didn't think he would see one of your kind ever again.
I promise that this is not an attempt to deflect. This is ignorance. What is my kind?
We do not have a name for your kind here because you do not belong here. We fight you when agents of your ilk attempt to come here, but
from where? Where do agents of my ilk come from?
They exist on multiple planes. It is those that serve a greater darkness that draw power off of what we would consider the darkness, that which would extinguish all of us.
So why does he continue to do good things? Why does his weapon compel him to fight against darkness and evil?
Well, Gabriel when he was flying you all over here, explained to me the situation, and I do admit that he may have acted rashly. However,
do you think? That was Jeff.
That's Jeff or Dex?
No, that was Jeff.
Okay,
Dex would have said. Dex would have said, "Yeah, you think there's a difference?"
Okay,
right for right now. Wait, give it 10 minutes, and then it'll be indistinguishable again.
There are many that wield the power of the darkness unwittingly, that will perform actions for the greater good and do more harm than what they intend. So I have no doubt that you trust your companion, and I have no doubt that you may believe that your intentions are good, but we have reason to believe, based off of the aura that you project in this place, that you are a threat to not only us, but anyone that you come into contact with.
Wait, is Barak's alignment evil?
No.
Okay. I don't know anything about where the power that I wield comes from. I discovered that I could do these things not long ago. More recently, I have been able to summon a sword called Cursebringer that spoke extremely cryptically to me about a lot of things, but I can't seem to summon it here. And yet I can still cast other spells. So if I'm cut off from whatever darkness you think my power comes out of here, why can I still cast spells? Why am I still able to use some of it, but not all of it?
I mean, you mentioned summoning the sword. It's entirely possible that you existing on another plane, lots of summoning magic does not work across planes. So maybe as simple as that, but the tribunal will confer and determine your fates as an agent of darkness and his accomplices.
All right. Listen. Good. All right. Listen, we are not, he is not an agent of darkness. You may sense something within him that we don't understand, but he is not working for the darkness. He is not an agent of darkness. He might be, hang on. He has been nothing but a catalyst for good in this fight that we've been fighting against the darkness, and we need him to continue that fight. Our accidentally ending up in your plane does not afford... Oh, that's not true.
But would Dex say it anyway?
Probably. Yeah, that's the thing. Look, we did not try to come here. We accidentally ended up here. And we are trying to leave, to continue fighting against this darkness that you seem to have a problem with just like we do. Escort us out. Let us go. We won't come back. We'll keep fighting the good fight. And that'll be it. We're on the same side.
But what if they're right?
Well, that's not helpful.
Cursebringer has been constantly trying to get me to do things that I find problematic in the name of some greater good. What if this power inside me is evil? I'm not saying I'm evil, but what if this power inside me is?
Well,
it's creepy as hell.
That is certainly true.
It's been extremely useful, but I know it's creepy.
He starts crying. I don't like turning things black. All right. Well, Barak, you raised some good points that we can probably discuss on another day. Do you think that raising these points right now is going to help them cure you or cure the problem, which is you?
I don't know. But, and here he would return to addressing the angels. But look, whatever is true, what about me or what the power within me, they're not accomplices, as you say. Like, they're here. Their being here has nothing to do with whatever power I have. They're trying to save maybe our world. I don't know. That sounds extraordinarily
pompous, but something terrible is happening in our world where creatures from Mabar are breaking through the bounds between Eberron and Mabar, stealing people. We don't know if it's a build up to an invasion or what. We don't know. We're trying to find out and we're trying to stop it. And right now, the only thing we can do is go seek counsel from a servant of the Silver Flame in Mistmarsh. If you have to keep me here, fine. But they need to go. Because while this was intended to be a shortcut, time is passing. And we don't know what's happening in our world the longer we're here. So if you need to keep me for judgment, then fine. But they need to go.
All right. How noble is Dex?
Anything else before we make our ruling?
Look, if this power is evil, is dangerous, is an actual threat, and I can't fathom anything I could do threatening you, frankly. But if it is, then take it. Burn it out of me. I'll give it up. Listen, I have grown up in the light of the Silver Flame, and the greatest danger we are taught is the temptation to do evil in the name of good. If that's what's happening to me, I don't want it to be. But I would also really like to know about the last time that you saw someone like me. Because the people I've been able to ask about my lineage either don't know anything or are just unwilling to tell me.
There was a time when we had somebody saying very similar things to us, as you say now, standing before us, who was carrying great darkness within him, and even spoke of a sword that abandoned him, and that he was merely traveling through our plane, trying to get somewhere else to save the world.
You don't know his name, do you? Based on what you've just said, I have some reason to believe that was my father. I don't know anything about him.
We did not get his name. He was a drow.
I had some hint of that.
He spoke of seeking the greatest light that there was, that shined brighter than any light that we have here.
That exists? It's very bright here. In fact, I'm not sure how my young companion here is handling it.
Jacob is
Can
just
Jacob see?
Tears flowing down his face. He looks at Jacob and says, it's the same light that one of your companions carries with him.
Because I thought that was the Silver Flame.
Whatever name you may call it.
That's interesting.
However, we denied him passage and returned him from whence he came, and through one of the planar archway that he came through.
I mean, that's better than some of the things.
That doesn't sound bad.
Well, but going back through the one we came through just puts us back where we were.
But it's
better than other options.
I mean, and honestly, try again. Jump into another plane. Maybe we'll just have to fight something instead of this garbage.
Now, I hope that the knowledge that I've given you consoles you, because we do find that based on what we sense within you and the fact that you used such power here amongst us, which your predecessor did not. Farland steps forward. I demand trial by combat.
Wait, I don't. Wait, what?
Yeah, I'm not sure about this combat trial.
Guys,
the alternative, they're going to keep us here or kill us.
I have not heard them say that yet.
What were you about to say? Well, kind of took the wind out of ourselves, little dwarf, but trial by combat it is.
All right.
Prepare yourselves. We shall do the same. Typically in these situations, there's only one person being tried. But since there are multiple of you and we only have one champion...
Why are my companions on trial here? You have a problem with Farlan, that's fine. You have a problem with me, that's fine. But what have the other three done?
If we're fighting, I'm fighting, Beric. Clearly, they're not going to release me.
If you would rather take turns fighting our champion, but...
I would rather you send them on so they can continue with the task of saving our world.
Well, I apologize, but we are not taking requests at this moment. So prepare yourselves. Our champion will do the same.
All right.
It is not like your barbaric world, combat to the death. Merely, it's simply too yielding. Now, you all have a numbers advantage, so I will have to say that if one of you yields, all of you yield.
What happens if we lose?
You will be found guilty.
Right, but...
And the penalty of which is...
You will remain here for the rest of your time.
Oh.
Well, I mean, and if we choose... Hang on. Just whatever. Let's do this. Dex doesn't want to be a fatalist, but that's what he is. Our choices are we stay here forever or we fight and might not stay here forever. Wrap me up, put the gloves on me. Let's do this. You look real conflicted there, Beric, but I don't think you understand that we have an option.
I know.
There is one door in this room, and it is the one from whence we shall leave.
Yes, I see that now. And he looks at Farlan.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, I can assure you that no matter what path we took, we'd probably reach some form of resistance.
Oh, I could have assured us that also. I've met our DM.
Yes, but I was in the middle of a conversation where I was finding out things that are important to me. Thank you very much, Farlan.
They were about to exact judgment. Somebody had to step in and do something. You were just asking questions. You weren't putting up a good defense. You think I'm evil, but I'm not evil, I promise.
The blessing. All right, so what are we... What?
Okay, so you see a group of angels has gathered... around this courtyard to witness what they presume is the final nail in the coffin of some creatures that invaded their plane. And from the crowd steps down, you see a figure part through the crowd wearing armor around his neck and shoulders, with golden wings kind of jutting out of the shoulders. You do not see wings on his back. And pale purple skin with pupilless eyes as he steps forward and brandishes a great sword and assumes a fighting pose.
It's a mother.
You nerfed me, otherwise we'd win this fight.
He's got magical weapons. Like
you said it was a great sword.
Well, it could be a magical great sword. That is an option.
Yeah, of course it is. I know that.
Well, I can't summon the weapon I use, and I'm pretty sure that narratively,
there's a lot of spells that Beric is not going to be willing to use in this fight.
Mm-hmm. You got it. You got a spear.
I do.
Yeah. Okay.
I need paper.
And I'm pretty good with it.
So, like, normally Dex would bloviate before this. Like,
right.
He'd go all Chaucer and Knight's Tale.
Uh-huh.
But he's so pissed that this played out this way. He's pissed at Gabriel for being dismissed. He's pissed at Farlan for not warning him that this could happen. He's pissed at you for not wanting him to be there fighting. So he's just got his ribbon weave out and ready to go. Oh, also, Dex is in hybrid form.
Okay.
Right now. Like, full on, like, the claws are out, the teeth are bared, the...
Beric is
an angel. That's
so troubled by everything else that he's not. He doesn't seem in the least bit uncomfortable about that.
Right,
too much else.
And the reason that he is because he assumes that Werebear is not a force of darkness. It's sure. just another creature. So these angels probably don't give a crap.
Sure,
because they don't. They're not silver flame.
I mean, based on what you've been told, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Theranax just been resigned that this was going to be the outcome. So.
Initiative.
Uh, 29.
16.
14.
Jeff swings first.
Yeah. What is your modifier again? I've forgotten. It's like 12?
12.
12,
yeah. Yeah, because I get to do my dexterity, my charisma, and the feat I chose gave me another 5.
Nice.
16, 14?
Yep.
29.
Okay, so the creature with the great sword steps up. Not really.
Okay, I am going to...
Oh, sorry. There's not enough pomp and circumstance here. The older head of the tribunal pulls out a large golden staff and slams it on the ground as the crowd falls silent. The outcome of this battle will determine the innocence or guilt of those that stand before us. May the gods look over this battle and guide the hand of those who are most righteous. Begin.
I also want to add a little flavor. So before this, while we were waiting for things to start, Dex has been in hybrid form, but used his ability as a changeling to hide it. Just because the other thing, like the perception checks and things like that are better when he's in hybrid form. But so before this match, in full view of all of these angels, he allows his hybrid form to take shape, which basically means that in front of all of them, he gets leaner, more muscular, grows some hair, and the best part, claws come out from between his knuckles, and you hear a...
You just see something hiding, like, child angel eyes and... I'm just terrified of the beast.
Call me Bear Vereen.
Boo.
Yeah, cut that. That was garbage.
Nope. People need to know how dumb you are.
If they don't know by now. Okay, so anyway, so I get the first move, and I'm going to... I guess there's no reason not to rush up and get within... How far away is he?
Probably about 25 feet.
Okay, yeah, I have to be within 5 feet to claw.
Okay.
And... Yeah, I'm just going to start with that. I'm just going to go, and what is not exposed on him? Or what is exposed, pardon me?
His chest.
His chest is...
Exposed. He just has the shoulder armor, but pecs, abs for days.
Abs for days. His 24-pack is just... Okay, then I'm just going to try to just slash... Well, here, let me roll first. Okay, that's a 19 for the first claw. So what I do is I come up and over with my right hand, and I want to slash down from like his collarbone, just as far down as I'm going to make a mark while still swinging my arm away from him at the end of it. And that is going to be for 11 damage.
11 damage?
Uh-huh. Okay. And then I come back around with my other, my left hand, and that's a 26.
Hit.
And that's going to be for 7 damage.
7 damage?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you going to bite him too?
I can only, multi-attack only works if I use claw.
Oh, you don't have claw bite? Okay. No.
I think that's just high-level druid bear wild shape. I don't think it's werebear.
Okay. You notice that your claw attacks, like, they pierce his skin, they slash, but his skin gave some level of resistance. Like, he was armored against it in some way, so didn't do as much damage as you were hoping, but sure. still hit him.
Try radiant.
That's all I got, and that ain't gonna help.
Yeah.
Okay, so he recoils from slashing, and kind of grits his teeth and locks eyes with you, Dex. And
how long has it been since we got flown over here?
Hour and a half.
So waiting for this fight to commence could be considered a short rest?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And he says to you, you protect an agent that will destroy you. Stand aside, and you may be spared.
And I say, I'm afraid I can't do that.
21 to hit.
Me? That's a hit.
That's going to be 7 slashing damage.
Okay.
And 7 radiant damage. It's just brilliant light erupts as the great sword makes contact with you. Beric.
All right. Beric. Beric has his spear out with the silvered head on it. And he rushes in and... Let's see. That's pretty good. That would be 24.
24? That's a hit.
Okay. He sort of pivots around Dex and brings the spear up and around and just sort of slashes the blade of it across the back of the angel.
Okay.
That would be 7 damage.
Okay. Still, even with the silvered property, the spear just doesn't quite have the right feel that you're used to with Cursebringer. But he still recoils as you slash at him. Theridak.
I can't even dump my spell slots into this.
With his great sword.
Usually I can dump my spell slots for extra damage with Cursebringer, but I can't do it.
26.
Nice. Y'all are rolling well. Hit.
Yeah, round one.
Got another one of these. I'm just going to do a trip attack.
Oh.
We'll try it next time. All right. Damage. 12 damage.
12 damage. Okay.
I'm assuming Jacob is not a part of this fight. He has no weapon.
Yeah, Jacob's just kind of hanging in the back, especially with the condition that if one of you yields, all of you yield.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to put himself in a position being as squishy as he is.
What about our mouthy dwarf companion?
Oh, he better.
He's fighting. He's fighting Orion, tossing him off of this rock.
Mm-hmm. Also, we're all in agreement that we're not yielding until we're.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, Theridak would not yield.
Yeah.
Not when it comes to his. No. There's no way.
What would be the point?
Exactly. Yeah, it's stay or stay.
Right.
That's one of Theridak's things. Like, he's lost friends and he has vowed to never.
Apparently, I don't belong here, but they really want to keep me.
So, your dad was a drow. Now we know.
So, that's why I'm gray.
Mm-hmm.
Half drow.
Now, in Eberron, are drows inherently evil?
No.
Just like any other race, it could be anything.
Okay. There's a bunch of different drow cultures. There's like a sort of savage tribal drow who live out in the jungles. And then there's a... Go ahead.
Oh, what this is. Farlan steps up and looks at you, Dex, and says, cute claws. I don't really like half measures. And he starts to expand. His hair grows and he becomes the size of a large grizzly bear. And then kind of shadows you, Dex, as he comes down, as you kind of step out of the way, bringing both his claws down on this creature. That's a miss. That's a hit. One of the claws comes down and just rips through the skin of this creature through his chest. But still, I mean, Farlan looks frustrated that you all aren't being as effective as he was hoping you would be. Dex, it is your turn.
All right. Everybody's right up on him now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, I get that anyway. Now I'm thinking about trying to blind him. But you guys are gonna
be a good idea.
You guys are gonna take DCs as well. I'm gonna try to blind him because, I mean, if I was blinded and there were four people against me, I might yield. So I'm gonna come at him with ribbon weave. Daylight is on. I turn daylight on. I hit the button. The 15 foot whip like blade shoots out of the end of my thing, and I attack with a 17.
That's a hit.
All right. First, I have to roll the damage first. That's not a damage. All right, so you all have to beat a DC 11 check, but let me do the rest of the damage first. So that was 11 plus my 2d6. Can I get another d6 back for me? All right, so the damage, by the way, is 11, 7, 18.
18?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your whip and reeve just slashes the skin, and it feels normal again. Like you got a good hit in on it.
Okay.
And his as you hit with the ribbon weave and the light flashes, he grabs his eyes as the light blinds him, and he lets out a scream.
Okay. And Farlan?
Oh, Farlan. Of course, Farlan passes.
Hell yeah. Guys, it worked exactly like I wanted it to. So he has disadvantage on anything he tries. Or do we have advantage? Or both?
I think both.
It's a little of both.
Nice. Okay, so he is just going to kind of spin in a circle, swinging his greatsword, trying to hit anything that he can. So there are four of you. Beric 1, Theridak 2, Dex 3, Farlan 4. Farlan. So, with disadvantage, that's still a 20.
Jeez.
7 regular damage and 10 radiant damage to Farlan.
Jeez, Pete.
Wow.
Farlan would be able to tell us, so I expect you to tell us when he's down below half. Good. I wish I knew. So many pop songs with angels, none of them have something to do with being blind.
Yeah.
Blinded by the light.
I mean, he was definitely
caught up like a noose.
I mean, that was a hearty hit on Farlan. He's not quite at half, but he's pretty darn close. Okay, Beric, before you can act, you all of a sudden get like this pain at the base of your skull as you feel something, for lack of a better term, trying to enter your mind, and you hear like almost staticky of,
"I'm trapped in it. Can't reach you."
I know.
Well, then do something if you know.
Beric, spell I can cast. Beric reaches out and just sort of makes a fist, and a silver bonfire flares up at the angel's feet. I need a dexterity check. Or dexterity saving throw, presumably with disadvantage.
Is that the only spell you've got that you can...
Well, like, there's a whole bunch of spells that do like necrotic stuff, and I don't want to...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. That's the only non-necrotic...
No, I've got a few others.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure Lightning Lure is not going to work because that's a strength saving throw.
10.
Ha! He takes 5 fire damage.
Boy, yeah, that ain't your strongest work, is it?
No, it's not. But it's constant. It pays off.
Right.
Okay. Theridak.
How long is he blind for?
That actually was not elucidated to me.
Oh, I remember it.
That's it?
Yeah.
So back around, he'll still be blind when I attack him next. Mm-hmm. And then, okay.
I'm going to do a feigning attack with my great sword.
Okay.
Well, actually, no, I'm not. Because I have advantage right now, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to do a regular strike. That's a 22.
And a crit.
Oh, okay. Roll a percentile.
Percentile?
Yeah,
D10. Find out. He's rolling in a crit table.
All right. 13?
13. Wide open. The target counts as incapacitated for one round. No ones or twos on damage dice for the round.
Incapacitated means you automatically crit when you hit him.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you roll your crit damage, any ones or twos you get to reroll.
So he's currently blinded and incapacitated. Does he not yield?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're reading my mind.
Does he not yield? He's literally incapacitated.
It's not his turn yet.
I haven't taken the damage yet. So it's this and this again. That's 7.
Remember to re-roll any ones or twos.
You had a 2 on the last one too, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. So it was 5.
So that's 10. 5 and 5. And now 10, you got a 4. 14.
So 14. So one more.
Oh my god.
20. So it'd be 25.
Okay.
And I'm going to action surge.
Okay.
Smack him again.
So go ahead and roll on the crit table again. Since it's an auto crit. Or roll to.
He does have to hit it.
Yeah. Roll to see if you hit. Sorry.
I thought I was going to get away with that. That's a 21. And we'll go with 21.
Okay.
Two and a one.
What?
Was it, oh, percent. You want the percentile.
Yeah, percentile.
So that crit still, you already have true hand, I think, right?
D10. And
there it is. I was looking for it.
Well, you need your D10 also.
20.
So the incapacitated thing still lasts around, and he gets something compounded upon it.
Well, no, this is good, considering this savage chop. You ignore damage resistance. No ones or twos on damage.
Nice.
I'm going to say, just for fun, since it's stacking on top of a similar feature, no 1 through 4s.
Oh my gosh.
This is going to take forever to roll.
No 1 through 4s. That's 10.
No, the 4 doesn't count.
Oh, 6.
Hey,
12.
You can destroy this guy.
22, so
27.
Awesome.
Oof. Okay, it is now back around to Dex.
All right, so
over to you for your crit.
Now, wait. The damage, the resistance thing was just against him, right?
Yes.
That didn't go over. Okay.
No. All right, and you only get to reroll on ones and twos.
Okay, right, sure. Okay, so I am going to... I mean, it seems silly enough to go back to the claws if I'm going to auto-crit and potentially get the same sort of thing. So...
But, I mean, the claws were under the purview of his damage resistance, whereas the ribbon weave was not.
I know, but they 2d8 plus 4 versus 1d8. Fine, I'm going to ribbon weave him.
Do what you want to do.
I mean, yeah, I know.
Statistically, it's a wash because.
Yeah, it really is.
Hey, we tried to talk our way through this, but.
Yeah. All right, Ribbon Weave. I don't want to. I mean, we're playing to yield. I don't want to go for his neck or anything. I think I'm going to try to take out his Achilles. Not as a grapple check to trip him. I want to slice through the back of his leg. Hey, it happened to me in real life. It sucked.
Yeah.
I remember.
Advantage.
Right. Yeah, so that is an 11.
Miss.
But you have advantage.
You have advantage.
Oh, that's right. Okay, that's 20.
Okay, yeah.
So now I roll for the crit.
Yep.
your... Or should I roll damage first or the crit?
Crit.
Crit first, okay.
Because it might affect what you get on damage.
Sure. 74.
Okay. Inspirational display. All allies receive advantage on their next roll, double damage. So since the blinding is about to end, that you extended advantage for another round.
Okay, great. And so I do the my regular damage twice.
Yes.
So roll.
You roll damage twice. You don't just multiply.
Right.
It's a D10.
That is a D10.
And sneak attack, you do not double.
Okay. So that's...
No ones and twos.
Okay, so that's 9. That's 14 plus my sneak attack. 14 and 9. That's 23 damage.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean...
That was a good round.
Yeah.
Now that he is no longer blinded and still just getting the crap kicked out of him, this creature kind of grits his teeth as he looks at you and blood starting to trickle out of the corner of his mouth. And he just slaps a hand to his chest as you see radiant energy flowing from the air around into his wounds as they begin to close up. And he looks invigorated and ready to fight another day.
Jeez.
But that was his action. So, Beric.
All right. So I have advantage due to Dex's action. Oh, and he ended his turn in my fire.
Oh, right.
One.
It was but no ones or twos, right?
Oh.
You're still until his turn.
Four. Four fire damage.
And you get an auto crit because of Randy's crit, because he's still wide open. So.
Seven then. Total of seven then.
No, on your attack.
Oh, on my attacks. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. With advantage with the spear.
Percentage dice?
Well, no. he we need to make sure he hits first.
Oh. So that's going to be 21.
That's a hit.
Okay.
So percentile.
I guess I'll roll with a crit and see what happens and then describe it. Please. Oh. Crap.
Is that 43 or 34?
83.
Perplexed reaction. Target incapacitated for one round. And provokes opportunity attacks from all eligible enemies.
Oh, man. So, Beric...
Double damage. So, you do double damage.
So, he's sort of... after all this, he's sort of crouched over healing himself. And he's big, right? Like, this is a big figure. Am I correct?
Is he large?
He's medium size.
Oh, he's only medium size. Okay. Beric sort of pivots around him and then just swings with the back end of his spear haft and just smacks him across the back of the head real hard.
Okay.
So double damage. That's 16 plus 21 total.
And now everybody gets an opportunity attack, which, of course, because he's incapacitated, crits.
All right, I'm going back to my claws on this one.
So go ahead and roll to see if you hit.
You have advantage.
Misses.
Okay.
11.
Yeah, I hit. That's 19.
Okay.
My crit, 28.
Retaliation. As an immediate action... attack the same opponent. No ones or twos on damage. Since we're stacking, no threes or fours. So roll damage for this attack.
So I roll damage for this was just the first claw. I get another claw too, so I get two more attacks in.
Do you get two attacks
on opportunity?
On opportunity? Is it an attack action?
No, it's just one attack.
Okay. You just get one attack.
All right, well, so first let me roll. Let's do this. Okay. All right, so that's 13 doubled. So 26 plus 4. So that's 30. And then I do my sneak attack, yes or no, on an opportunity attack.
Yes, because it's once per turn, and since it's not your turn, you don't double the sneak attack.
No, no ones through fours.
Yeah.
41 damage.
Okay.
And then I get to go again, and this time I'm going to...
Smack him. So, roll to see if you hit.
Uh-huh. Okay, that is just a 9, but I have advantage. And that's a 17.
Hit.
Yeah, so for the crit.
Roll on the crit table. I really wish you just roll 100 so we can get this fight over with. Like, this is ridiculous.
60 or 50?
15.
Oh, of course, 15.
Wide open, target incapacitate for a round. No ones or twos on damage.
So do I get automatic... Because I was already at no ones, twos, threes, or fours. So do I just get automatic full damage?
Yeah, we'll say that.
Okay, and that was with my ribbon weave. So that's...
8 plus...
16 plus... Yeah, 16 plus 5 is 21 plus 12 is... Oh, no, it was per turn. This is still that same turn.
So oh, yeah, so you don't get sneak attack.
Okay, so that's 21 damage.
Okay.
And I think I don't attack again?
No, and that was Barrick's turn.
Right, I know.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So this guy is just bleeding, but you get the sense looking at him, a fight's never gone like this for him, so he's stubborn. Like,
over to you, Theron. He's so incapacitated again.
Roll to see if you hit, then roll on the crit table.
Good grief, it's almost like I don't need to do anything except smacking.
That's not gonna do it.
Oh! Wow.
Well, I would take the three.
Yeah, but still.
Okay.
Two in a row. So,
two in a row.
So Dak misses, so it's Farland's turn, right?
Yes.
Farland's gonna be the one to roll a 100 in this fight after everything we just did.
Farland hits with a 19.
What happens if I roll a 20? Is it a double crit?
16. Guarded strike. Farland has plus 2 AC for a round. No ones and twos on damage, which means he gets no threes or fours on damage.
Eric's regretting that little audible he called there earlier, where he decided we would stack those effects.
Oh, yeah.
That is 19 damage from his claw. Okay, it is now...
Dex's turn.
Dex's turn.
All right. So
he's incapacitated until Barrick's turn. And Theridak was the one that triggered the extra round of advantage for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So no more advantage, but still...
Well, if he's incapacitated, then he does have advantage.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, I still get the... Oh, I guess I should say that's a 12, right?
That's a miss.
How about a 14?
Miss. Okay. He cannot take an action because he's incapacitated, but he does take fire damage.
8.
Okay. Barrick.
With advantage for the last time, gotta hit him so we can get another round of incapacitated.
Because yeah, he's incapacitated, so it's still auto crits.
Mm-hmm.
Barrick says, "We would happily accept your yield at this point." 21.
Hit. He's kind of on one knee before you strike.
65.
Okay.
Wide open.
He's incapacitated for. Because you're behind him, right?
Yeah.
He glances over his shoulder at you and says, "I will never yield to a creature as dark as you." And...
Wow.
Harsh. Attacker has melee advantage, and the target has disadvantage for one round, and you get to roll one extra damage dice on your damage.
So he has...
I'm confused.
Yeah.
You have advantage for a round.
Okay.
He has disadvantage for a round.
Okay, so on my next turn, I will have advantage.
Oh, wait. Anybody that is a melee attacker has advantage.
Oh.
He has disadvantage.
Excellent. Another advantage, but no incapacitation. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to roll 2d8 instead of one.
You get to roll an extra damage.
Double both of them?
No. You only double damage if I tell you you double damage based on this table.
Oh. Well, that's just... Are we still at no ones and twos? I've forgotten.
This would be the last round.
Last round, okay. Yes.
Eight. 16 plus five. 21.
21?
21 damage.
Okay. Theridak.
He's still incapacitated?
No. He's no longer incapacitated, but you do have an advantage.
Do have advantage.
Which is far more tolerable.
That crit lasted for your one crit made it three rounds.
Yeah. That was incredible. Just, you know, you got advantage, do it again.
Yeah. Right? Are you sure you do not wish to yield?
I will not yield to your friend.
Then yield to me.
I have no problem with that.
21. 23. This is a goading attack.
Okay.
He needs to make a DC 15 wisdom save.
He does not.
Okay. Uh-huh. And he has disadvantage on attacking anybody other than me until the end of my next turn.
Oh, right. But he already has disadvantage.
But he has to attack me. Oh, he's already got this. Duh. Mm-mm.
Double disadvantage. Roll four and take the lowest.
19 damage.
Okay.
All right. Beric. Not Beric.
Jesus,
You just want to play my character. That's what it is.
Well, and I called you Dex. Yeah. So similar. All right. Dex says... Buddy. He sucks the blade of his ribbon weave back in, which still has daylight, by the way, which we've been neglecting to blind him, and so we're going to fix that this round. He rears back. You know, when you see somebody with a switch, they come across, they're over their like right hand over his left shoulder with it. He says, "Do you yield? Yield to me."
No.
All right. That's a 17, but I have advantage, so I may as well crit. Ah!
Boo.
All right, so first, the crit table.
Incapacitation.
Oh my gosh, guys. We've 86.
Broken the game.
And stay down. Target is prone and stunned for one round. DC... 15 constitution save, or his move speed is halved until he takes a rest. Double damage. So,
okay, so.
What is stunned? What does stunned mean specifically? I don't recall.
He does not pass his constitution save. Stunned is incapacitated and cannot move. Ability to speak is impaired but not lost. Automatically fail strength and dexterity saving throws. Attacks have advantage.
So does it auto crit again? Because incapacitated?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
You hit him.
And you have advantage.
Well, okay, but I already did my hit, so I just do the double damage thing for my ribbon weave, right?
Yes.
Okay. And my sneak attack, because it's a new turn.
But sneak attack is not double.
Right. I'm just saying I also add that. So the damage is 8 plus 5 is 13. Now I got to decide. He's already incapacitated for a round. I don't need to worry about blind. So that's 13 plus 15. 21 points of damage to the angel.
Okay.
And it is not his turn because he is incapacitated.
So he's still on one knee.
Did we skip Farlan again?
Yes. No, Farlan went.
Farlan went.
Okay, sorry. Yeah.
All right. He's clearly unwilling to yield to debt to bear it. See, now look at what you've done.
It's my bad.
So Varric is not using the point of his spear anymore. He's just trying to subdue him with the haft. So 25,
that's a hit.
So therefore an auto crit?
Yes.
34.
Ruthless Assault. One extra damage die.
Oh my gosh. 13 plus... sorry.
No, it doesn't stunned mean double damage? Or was that part of my crit table thing?
That's part of your crit table.
Okay. Yeah.
18 damage from the spear, but he also ended his turn, his non-turn in my fire. So... two fire damage.
The spear that you're holding after you hit slips out of your right hand briefly, and for a moment you swear you see Cursebringer flash into existence and then leave again.
Okay. Do I not have to be trying to do that? This is disconcerting.
Theridak.
How's this angel looking?
Oh, I mean... bloody, beaten. I mean, he's halfway on the ground as you all thwack on him.
Really bad.
This is awful. There's an angel on its knees in the middle of this mob of us, and we're just beating him with sticks.
We have given him chances.
I know, but this image is...
And we're fighting literally for our existence.
I know. The image is just awful.
Yeah, well, I'm
going to hit him, not with the blade. I'm just going to try to knock him unconscious. Not gonna do it. 19.
That's a hit.
Roll your crit.
25.
Savage chop. Ignore damage resistance. No ones or twos on damage dice.
Cool.
Ignore them ones and twos.
Dumb joke.
Looka, looka, looka.
So it's going to be 16.
Okay. Farlan. Farlan steps out around.
Okay.
All right.
Dex.
Got he's it. Back there eating popcorn.
There's a thing I want to do. I want to do a thing. I'm so done. I've hated every second we've been in this stupid place, except for the one time I got to jump real far and it was fun.
That was admittedly cool.
Like... Gabriel was a douche. The tribunal, just total kangaroo court. Blaming my friend for things he doesn't do. Accusing him of a personality that he doesn't have. Putting us in the ring with this guy that they thought for sure was going to destroy us. And then he has the hubris to not yield.
Preach on.
So I'm going to give him one more chance to yield before I do what I'm going to do. Does he yield?
You see Dex standing above him saying all this.
No, this was Dex talking loudly because he's incapacitated. He's not going to get attacking on me while I'm pontificating. So, angel whose name I did not catch, do you yield? No, I don't want to roll. Actually, this is just me talking. I'm not rolling for that. I'm just talking because I'm going to hit him.
He doesn't say anything. His eyes are just cast to the ground.
All right, he's losing a foot. I pop the blade out of my ribbon weave, and I'm going right for his ankle, which you have said is not covered. It is exposed.
Yes.
And I get advantage.
And auto crit.
So that's a 21 to hit him. And my crit is 91.
So, in your frustration, your aim falters. This crit doesn't make sense wrapping around an ankle. So, I'm sorry. But you extend out the ribbon weave and yank back. And the crit is impaled. So, he is going to be taking 9 bleed damage per round. because blood is just gushing out of, I'm going to say, his neck.
No, not that bad of a name.
Okay.
Femoral artery.
Okay.
Come on.
Out of his leg. He's stunned for one more round, triple damage.
Do flowers grow where his blood falls?
Triple damage with this. So I roll the D8 one time, multiply by 3, add my multiplier, or add my addition, right? So, right? I don't roll the D8 3 times. I roll
yes,
the D8
you, one time. You roll the D8 3 times.
Okay. 6. 9. That's 11 plus 5 is 16 plus my sneak attack.
Nice.
That's another 11. So what was that? 16 and 11. That's 27 points of damage. And he's stunned again, so everybody crits, and he can't do jack. And
you hear a loud rumbling boom as you see the head of the tribunal slam his staff on the ground and says, "Enough."
That's what we were trying to tell him.
I want to go up and I want to go give him a healing potion.
Okay.
Can't they just lay hands on?
They can, but
I think it's a nice gesture.
I'm not interested in being nice gestures to these people.
That's 2, 4, 6 points back to him, and I help him stand up if he's able to.
I can't imagine he can stand up if he's bleeding out of his.
I mean, the blood begins to coagulate rapidly with the healing potion, and as soon as you get him to his feet, he kind of jerks away from you and limps off into the crowd.
Beric dismisses the bonfire.
I wipe down my blade.
Gabriel, gather your men that brought them here and take them where they want to go.
Anything going on in my head still?
It has subsided. Like,
okay. Beric steps away for a moment, turns his back to everyone, and just tries to see if the sword comes.
It's almost like you can feel its presence in your hand faintly, almost like a phantom sword, almost.
Because it's not already.
But nothing appears. Like, okay. It's like Cursebringer's trying to reach out to you but can't.
He's so done. Dex looks at the head of the tribunal with his big staff that finally called off the fight. And he says, "I just want to make sure that it's clear to you that your god favored Beric today.
I just wanted you to make sure that, you know, it's not just winning a fight. It's how you win it. And you showed us everything we need to see in regards to what type of people you are. Please leave our home."
I assume.
I don't know what that means.
I mean, every NPC. I assume that he means, we kept trying to let them yield so they know that we can't be that bad. They're not going to keep us forever. They're willing to let us leave. I think that Eric was using a stern face to say a nice thing. Or I could be wrong, but that's how I'm taking it. That's how Dex took it.
In that case, can I have my healing potion back?
All right. Well, I mean, Gabe, let me hop on your back. We'll fly on out of here, I guess.
I will be carrying you. You will not be riding me.
Oh, well, okay, whatever works for you. It's going to be real cool. I was going to be swinging my ribbon weave around in here like a lasso.
He, because the angels that carried you here are large sized. He just grabs you by the back of the neck and takes off.
Rude.
And all of you are being carried, not by the back of your neck like Dex, unless some of you want to make remarks.
Mouth off to an angel. It's actually pretty fun. Very liberating.
Well, Farland communicates to them the direction you need to go to get to the doorway. Give me a Dex saving throw, Dex.
Okie doke. That is a 12.
12?
Uh-huh.
You take 10 falling damage as Gabriel
throws
you onto the ground.
That's fair.
The rest of you are set down, and Gabriel stands there with his arms crossed, waiting for Farland to perform the spell to get you all out of here. Anything else you'd like to say to the angels before you leave?
I mean, as we walk through, the last thing that walks through the portal this time, Dak doesn't get to take up the back there. Dex does. And the last thing that they see of any of us is my proud middle finger as it goes through the portal.
Unless any of you have an objection to that.
I'm not going to see it.
Nope. Fair enough.
Dexterity check.
I make it through.
You said the last thing they see is you backing up, like you extend your middle finger.
No. No, I walk through, but my hand stays on the other side, and it's just a whoop.
That's why I'm telling you to make a dex. These dudes are fast.
Well, that's a 13.
So I guess the middle finger means something in Eberron.
Yeah, there's no guarantee. You don't know about angels. Maybe that's a salute of I apologize. That's what it means on Sarlona.
Right.
In that moment that you extend your middle finger, you briefly find yourself back on the other side of the portal.
No. Okay. Sorry.
With Gabriel about 4 inches away from your face, just red. If I ever find you again on this plane or any other, I will kill you. For the way that you fought my brethren today. And he throws you back through the portal. And it closes.
Man, Gabe is a dick.
End of episode.
So what was wrong with the way he...
We beat him.
We fought.
Thank you all so much for listening to another episode of Eberron Renewed. Please go check out our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, website, Gmail, all at the Geek Pantheon. We want to thank Kevin MacLeod for the use of the music in our shows. If you want to check it out, you can head on over to either incompetech.com or freepd.com to check out all of his great music that is either public domain or Creative Commons. So thank you all so much for listening. Once again, I am your Dungeon Master, Eric.
I'm perpetually confused.
I'm Randy.
I'm also here.
Bye.
I could pretend I was guiding them through, or I was Farland's escort, because he can't know all the angels. Of course, then when he asked me to fly up for a conference, I'm like, here's the thing.
Philip, go and do a mic check.
Hello, I'm Philip, and hey, look, my mic works.
Yay.
Hello, working fine.
All right, so anyway, the three brothers get to see a genie, and he says he's going to give each of them 3 wishes.
All right. We'll get a little bit of the joke each.
Oh, before you guys leave, you're going to have to hear this whole joke. Okay. Because, God, I heard it last night and I lost it.